Welcome to this podcast from Christchurch Blackpool. For more information, please visit ccblackpool.co.uk.
Right, that's the last time you're going to see that.
That's
the last one. So. You're going to remember this series from Damien's preaching. Damien, in a second, is going to close us out on our blueprint series. If you've missed any, they're all up online. Wonderfully, every week, Pete has recorded them and got them ready to go up online, so thanks, Pete. But before I introduce Damien, who's going to talk this morning, I just want to have first say, remember, next week, we're doing our big launch Sunday for this venue. So invite as many people as you can. It'll be a great event. We've got Rob Horn coming down to speak to us, and I'm really looking forward to it. So hopefully we can get this place packed out for the people, and it'll be a really memorable Sunday. And then after that, just want to get you into a... There we go. Right. After that, we are starting a series called Heroes. We're going to be spending the next... up until the summer break, we're going to be, and then again in the autumn, we're going to be looking at Hebrews 11, where we're looking at, so we're going to be week by week looking at the heroes of faith that Hebrews 11 goes through. And I'm really excited about that. Actually, what I love about this image that's been done for us is that Jen said, when she saw it, she said, actually, that could be me. But that could be any. The idea being that could be anyone. And the idea of this series as it unfolds is actually that we're going to look at these heroes of faith that the Bible marks through in Hebrews 11. And what they are, what hopefully people don't go away with the point of, the thing of, these are great people, I'm useless, I can never be like them. The point is that actually that could be me. And actually, I hope when we look at these people, a lot of these people made complete messes of their lives, okay? You know, we look at people like Abraham, who's the father of faith, and really, you know, he sold his wife twice into, you know, and then you've got David, who's the greatest kind of leader in Israel's history, the greatest king. And he wouldn't even make, you know, we talked on eldership last week, he wouldn't make it as an elder. He definitely had more. He had more than one wife. He killed his friend's wife, his friend's friend, so to cover up from adultery with his friend's wife. You know, he wouldn't make it on anything here. Okay, so we're looking at some messed up people, but God calls heroes of faith. So we're going to look at these, let you try to, which hopefully will be an inspiration to us as people that actually what God is calling us to, and the heroic things we can do in our day to day lives. So I'm really excited about that. But yeah, so we'll get onto that in 2 weeks' time. But now, Damien, who's going to.
It's really good when the pastor steals your thunder with a mini preach before you before you get up. Well, I say, might just carry on with that, mate. So we are looking at the final one of our blueprint series, and we're looking at generosity. And it's kind of a no-brainer, really, isn't it? Who doesn't want to be part of a church that has got generosity as one of its core values? Who wants to be part of the stingy church? Who wants to go to church that makes you pay a quid for a cup of coffee at the back? You know, who wants to be, you know, the church that says, oh, we want biscuit, kids? You know, we don't want to be that church, do we? We don't want to model ourselves on American Airlines, do we? Where, you know, we can say, excuse me, new people, that's Pastor Ben's chair, that is, you know, we're kind of dragging people out, you know. You know, we want to be a church that has generosity and kindness and compassion at the heart of everything we do. And as I was preparing for this, I was reminded of a time that me and Nicola was away in London. And Nicola's dad, if anybody's ever met Nicola's dad, he is the most... he's the most Christian, non-Christian that I know. In terms of, he's not a Christian, but the way he serves his family, the way he models generosity, the way he models kindness... he's absolutely amazing. And his favourite saying is, if Rog takes you out for a drink, his favourite saying is, they ran out of singles, so I got you a double. You know, that is Rog. That is the heart of Rog. And we've been away, we've been down to see Rog. We call his house Hotel Rog, because when we get there, we do nothing. We put our feet up and he just serves. What was funny about me and Nicola as well, I come from quite a poor family in the north, grew up on a council estate. Nicola's quite a wealthy family from down south in the leafy suburbs. And I remember there was one time where...
Who knew?
And I remember, the funny thing is, I remember this one time when... But coming from Salford though, the thing about Salford is, it's quite a deprived place, but the people in Salford are the salt of the earth. They don't have very much, but they literally would give you the shirt off the back, you know. And I remember one time, me and Nicola, we just started courting, I didn't have a job, and we used to spend late nights eating Ben and Jerry's and buying movies from Blockbuster DVD. And one night, we went to the cash point. Yeah, well, Ben was dodging armed robberies at Blockbuster.
It got shut up, Blockbuster, weren't there?
But I remember one night on the way to Blockbuster DVD, Nicola went to the cash machine and she put a card in. She went to get £10 out. And said, no, you can't have any money. And she cried. She cried because it was the first time in her life she had never had any money. And I was saying to her, what are you crying for? I've never got any money, you know. And what I want to say is, being generous, it's not just about financial giving. It's not just about financial giving. If you think it is, then you're really missing the trick. It's about a generosity of heart. It's about being generous with our time. It's about opening up our homes. It's just about having that heart that gives. And when Jesus was questioned about whether it was right to pay taxes to Caesar or not, he found himself between a rock and a hard place. The teacher of the law came to him and said, teacher, tell us if it's right to pay taxes to Caesar. And basically, if Jesus is in a situation where if he says, yeah, we should pay our taxes, we should obey our Roman oppressors, we should pay taxes to Caesar, then that would offend the Jews. And if he said no, you know, sat the Romans off, we shouldn't pay taxes, that would offend the Romans. And he was between a rock and a hard place. So he says to the teacher of the law, get me a denarius. So they bring him his coin and they say, whose head is on this coin? There's a picture of Caesar on it, and he says, right then, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God. And it just completely blew everyone out of the water, didn't it? Because what God is, Jesus says, it's not about money. It's not about money at all. What's due God? God is worth nothing less than our wholehearted devotion to him. So what Jesus is saying there is, it's not just about money. It's about a heart attitude. It's about giving God your heart. So we're going to look at Corinthians in a bit, but in 2 Corinthians 12:14, Paul's encouraging the Corinthians in generosity. When he sums it up with this, Paul says, I don't want your possessions, I want you. So having a heart attitude of generosity, about having a heart that wants to bless, it might be financially, it might be time, it might be meeting somebody who's in need, it might be gifting somebody, you know, you know somebody needs something and you've actually got it, so you might be able to gift it to them. And I think there's a real difference between giving and generosity, because we can give without being generous. We can give without being generous. I remember we just spent a week in the lakes with our friends, Rob and Joe Horn, who oversee us apostolically. And they've got a teenage son called Micah. And a couple of years ago, Micah wanted to build this top spec gaming PC. And he had nothing. He had about £200 or £300. It's just not enough. What he was going to buy off the shelf just wasn't enough to build what he wanted. And I had this computer myself. It's an absolute beast. I built it up over years. I started building it when Intel first brought out the i7. And, it was absolutely amazing. Every payday, I put a few more geeky things into it. Nicola's looking at me blank now. All the blokes know what I'm talking about, don't you? back in the day when computers used to run on 2 and 4 gig of RAM, this baby had 18 gig of RAM. It was beautiful, you know. It was fantastic. It had 2 or 3 hard drives in it, and I just built it up over years. And I remember thinking about Micah, and I thought, you know what? He's never gonna be able to build his gaming PC. He's never gonna do it. So I looked at my box and I thought, what is the minimum spec my PC can run on? What is the minimum spec I can? What for what I do and for what I want? This is surplus to my requirements. What's the minimum spec that I need? And what I did was I took the rest out. So out of my 18 gig of RAM, I gave Micah 12 gig. I I gave him a terabyte hard drive, you know. I got him a case off one of my mates, so he was a Dell Alienware case with a kilowatt power supply. I didn't tell his parents, he's like running a microwave. When he's in his bedroom playing his computer, he's like having a microwave on full blast. And basically, what I'm trying to say is, being generous is not saving. It's not about giving out of our excess. It's about saying, what is the bare minimum I need, and what can I give? So when Jesus is teaching his disciples in Mark 12, he's looking at the widow's offering. And the heart of that teaching is basically, I know you know the story, the heart of that teaching is basically, it's great that the church has wealthy people. It's great that wealthy people give to God. That's really good. But God's not looking at the numbers. God's not looking at the top line. God's looking at the heart behind the giving. So, God's looking at the personal cost, the cost to us. Now, I don't know if any of you guys will know the personal cost to my physique, the amount of kebabs I've had to eat to grow community in this church, yeah? That is a personal cost to my waistline. How many kebabs I've attempted to eat and failed to eat, you know? That's, it's all about personal cost, isn't it? But I think, you know, generosity, I've written, generosity is made perfect. When we understand the cost and the value of what we're giving it away, and we know how much it's going to bless the recipient, and that's almost like the heart of the gospel. So I felt really convicted when I was preparing for this. I was reminded that, like, I've had lots of you guys around. I remember when I first got my PlayStation VR. It was the best thing I've ever seen. It was an absolute game changer. I preach it. I tell people, I've been waiting for this technology for years, you know, and I've finally got it, this virtual reality headset, you can wear it. It's absolutely fantastic. And I just wanted people to come. I'm playing it. You got me 12 to play it, putting on babies. Check this out, you know. And everyone who comes round, I don't play on it as much as you guys have played on it. The people who have been round to my house have played on my PlayStation VR more than I've played on it, because it's such an amazing thing. I want them to experience it. And then God says, isn't that what the gospel's like? Isn't that what the gospel's like? Come and meet Jesus. Come and meet Jesus. Come on. Come and experience the love and the freedom and you know, just come and feel the forgiveness, feel the love of the Saviour. You know, am I like that? People ask me on a Monday, what did you do over the weekend? Oh, on Saturday, I went to Kendall. You've got there. I don't even tell them that they're our friends from church. Yeah, went to Kendall, met some friends. What did you do on Sunday? Went to church, you know. But actually, you know, when we understand the value, we sang about it this morning, when we understand the value of what God has done for us on the cross, when we understand the gospel, what we've actually been saved from, what we've actually got, then we should be generous givers of the gospel. We should be passionate about Jesus, and we should be passionate about sharing the gospel generously. That's the kind of church that we want to be like. When Ben first asked me to speak on generosity, I thought it'd be quite easy for me to put on my Teflon suit and tell you a story about a man who went from... I remember when Ben first asked me to speak on generosity, I thought, I know what I'll talk about. It would have been really easy for me to kind of put on my Teflon suit and do an impression of Pastor Creflo Dollar off the God Channel, because I could tell you a story about a man who went from prison. You know, I have been to prison. You know, I was homeless. You know, I went from prison to living in bail hostels to sheltered accommodation. You know, before I started coming to church, I met Nicola. You know, I used to walk around Salford Precinct late at night, picking up dimps off the floor to make rollies out of, you know. Nicola's like, I can't believe he's telling everyone this. You know, I used to have this mate who was a complete madhead, complete drug addict. We used to go around the back of the precinct and jump in skips and nick the stuff that people have thrown away. You know, I was completely, in terms of social status, I was completely as low as you can get. And it would be really easy for me to kind of stand here today and preach prosperity and say, I gave my life to Jesus and now I've got a bank account, I've got a job, I've got a house, I've got more houses than I need, you know, I've got more money than I need, you know. But it's not like that. We don't do prosperity teaching, do we, in this church? We don't believe in prosperity gospels. And I think the reason why prosperity teaching is so people buy into it so much is because the world loves a kind of rags to riches story, don't they? The world loves kind of the rags to riches story. They love the kind of story about Duncan Bannatyne, the dragon, who never had a bank account until he was 30. I never had a bank account until I was 30. And you think about Alan Sugar selling his Amstrad CPC 464s out of the back of a lockup, you know, and all of a sudden he's the boss of The Apprentice and he's firing people, you know. And you think about Richard Branson, you know, who started Virgin Media, Virgin Records in his garage. And we love these kind of stories about self-made millionaires, don't we? We love these kind of rags-to-riches stories. It's really appealing to us, isn't it? And what we can do, and what prosperity preachers do as well, they can back it with biblical examples. So you can look at the examples of people like, oh, well, look at King David, you know. He was a shepherd. He slept rough in the fields, fighting wild animals off to keep his sheep safe. He was the runt of the litter. He wasn't even in the lineup when Saul came to anoint his brothers. Yet David went from the fields to being the king of Israel, the shepherd who became king. Or we can think about examples of people like Joseph who was left to the dreamer. He was left to die in the pit. Left for dead, and he gets sold into slavery, and he goes from kind of from prison to kind of Pharaoh's right hand man. But as Christians, we do not worship the shepherd who became a king, do we? We worship the king who became a shepherd, the king who became a shepherd, who became lower than a shepherd, who became a lamb for us, who was slain for us, don't we? As Christians, we don't worship the Prince of Egypt, do we? We worship the Prince of Heaven. The Prince of Egypt went from the pit to the palace. Our Saviour went from the palace to the pits of hell for us. And that's where we stand on prosperity preaching. Our Saviour died penniless on a cross. They even gambled for the shirt off his back. He died naked and penniless. And that is our take on prosperity preaching. We just don't do it. Now, I'm sure when we think about generosity, that God does honour generous givers in many different ways, and it's definitely spiritually enriching for us to give and to give generously, but there's absolutely no guarantee or expectations of receiving material wealth in return for following Jesus. Jesus says of his followers, you need to pick up your cross daily and you need to come and you need to follow me. In Acts 20:35, Paul says, in everything I did, I shown you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And it's easy to take that scripture, it's more blessed to give than to receive, and say, oh, it's a really good biblical principle, that, isn't it? It makes you feel good to help someone else out. It makes you feel warm and fuzzy outside when you do a favour for somebody. But I think it's really profound when we look at in the light of Jesus himself, who gave his life. You know, he said of Jesus, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. So when Jesus is saying it's more blessed to give than receive, this is a guy who was going to give his life. This is a guy who was going to endure a Roman crucifixion for the sins of the world. And for some strange reason, It filled him with great joy. It was a blessing for him to walk up that hill for us and to die on a tree for us. And I just think that's absolutely fantastic. I think it's amazing. In some respects, when we're talking about generosity, I think in this room anyway, I think I'm preaching to the converted. You know, I think the people in this church are absolutely fantastic. I think you guys give so well, sacrificially, of your time, your efforts, your money and everything. I think it was really good when we went to the Christ Central Weekend Away, and Ben was able to stand there and say, our church plant, how many churches are we part of in our region?
Nine.
9 churches in the region. Can I boast about us?
You can.
9 churches in the region, yeah? 9 churches in our region. Ben stood there. We're the smallest, we're the youngest, we're the newest. Ben was able to stand there and say, the offering, the total offering was £7,000 and 9 churches. And Ben was able to stand there and say, it was really good, we had our first gift day, and we raised
£2,200?
Just over £2,000. Absolutely fantastic. He was laughing. All he needed was a big check, like, you know, like comic relief. Hello, oh, I'm Ben, I'm from Blackpool, and I sat in a bath full of beans in Blackpool Town Centre. You know, what was great as well was Tom as well, you know. And here's Tom, he played the guitar, he put custard in his wellies and played the guitar, and he gave £5. Do you know what I mean? It was a bit like that. But to be such a young church plant and to give so much, you know, I just think, I know who I'm speaking to, basically. You know, you guys are absolutely fantastic at everything that you give. But I think the word that God has spoke to me about, and Ben prayed out of it a few weeks ago, and I was saying to him, you know, you nearly stole my thunder there, Ben. God wants us to be Macedonian. God wants us to take our giving and our generosity from the church in Macedonia. And I want to read you a little bit of 2 Corinthians 8. We're looking at verses 1 to 9. This is what Paul says. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us, in keeping with God's will. I just think that's absolutely fantastic, isn't it? I really think that God's word for us is, he wants us to be like the church in Macedonia, who, and what Paul's doing in Corinthians there, he's telling the Corinthians about the Macedonians. Paul's on kind of an apostolic mission, but he's being supported by the church in Macedonia. And that's what we want to be like. We do want to bring the life and light of Christ to a lost and broken world. We want to start in Blackpool, but we want to look beyond, and we do want to support the bigger picture. We want to support apostolic mission. And I know Ben's already spoke to Jeremy about and said to him, look, this is what we want to do. This is what we want to do. So it's our heart. We want to be Macedonian in our giving. We want our giving to be generous, joyful, beyond our means, and we want to consider it a privilege. So we've got so much in common as well. When the more you look into the church in Macedonia, the more you realise Christ Church Blackpool has got a heck of a lot in common with the church in Macedonia. So Macedonia was a church in northern Greece. There was northerners. They'd be in our sphere, the Macedonians. And also, they was also looked down upon by the Greek cousins. You know, they weren't thoroughbred Greeks. They were slightly looked down upon. Economically, they were hard-pressed. Scripture tells that they were under extreme poverty. But one historian wrote this about them. He observed this thing. He said, the Macedonians had this annoyingly resilient trait that they didn't know when they were beaten. The Macedonians just didn't know when they were beaten. They was hard-pressed but not beaten. They didn't know when to give up. And it's a bit like, I think it's a little bit like the Blackpool Spirit, but it also reminded me of the road in Salford called Agecroft Road. And it floods. And sometimes, but the road is a really good cut for it. You miss out the main A6 going into Salford and Manchester. And you cut down this kind of hill. But it floods sometimes. And you'll get there, and there'll be a sign that'll say road closed. And someone from Salford's got out of the car, and they've gone, don't think it is hot. And they've thrown a sign. And they get in the car, and they'll just bomb it down there. They'll just drive through the puddles, you know. They're not bothered. And that is kind of the, I'm not being, oh, roadblock, yeah. Woo! Not bothered, you know, and that is the kind of church that we want to be like, isn't it? We want to hit hurdles, we want to hit roadblocks. We want the world to tell us, no, you can't go down that path. No, you can't go there. No, you can't grow there. We want to say, yeah, we can, no. We want to move roadblocks, don't we? We don't want to be put off. And the Macedonian spirit is a little bit like that. There was an article in The Economist, not that I read it, Ed shared it last year on Facebook. And it was an article, and it basically is about Blackpool, the seaside town that they forgot to close down. And it was talking about the Labour government had propped up these seaside towns and stuff, but Osborne's Conservative Party felt it was better to let them fail, to take away the Zimmer frame and let them fall and invest money in places like Manchester and have them as kind of northern powerhouses that would do well. And the article was all about how they forgot to close Blackpool. When I read it, I was thinking, it's not the seaside town that they forgot to close, it was the seaside town that refused to die. He said, no, we you know, that we will not close down, you know, you can hard press us, you can withdraw funding, you can do this, that and the other, but we will not die. And I think our church, part of our church's mission is to bring the life of Christ into this dying place, into this dying town. Yeah. So I just want to take 3 points from the Macedonians. So the first thing that I want to say about the way the Macedonians gave was, the Macedonians gave with overflowing joy. And joyful giving gives glory to God. Joyful giving gives glory to God. So 2 Corinthians 9:12, Paul says this. He says, this service you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but it's overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. When we worship, we're not just giving our money. We're worshiping God. And if we're doing it joyfully, people will see that. And they'll give glory to God. In 2 Corinthians 9:7, it says, let each one do just as he's purposed in his heart, not grudgingly under compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver. Yeah? Joyful giving is worship to God, and we want our giving to be worship to God. We don't want to give our 10% or whatever just because we're supposed to do. So in Matthew 23:23, Jesus says, woe to you, teachers of the law, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill and cumin, but you neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy and faithfulness. He said you should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. So you get this picture of these Pharisees and these Sadducees sat in the kitchen chopping up 10% of the herbs as an offering to God. Oh, there's 10% of the mint, cumin, dill. And there's some homeless guy at the bottom of the garden. Oi, clear off, you know. It's just bonkers, isn't it? We're practicing, oh, there's God's 10%. And then we justice and mercy, we're just like, oh, clear off, homeless man, you smell. You know, that's not the heart of what we want to do. What Jesus is saying is you want to be doing both. You want to be honouring God with your stuff, not to the point where you're, oh, there's your 10%. You want to be giving generously, but also you want to be practicing the more important matters of the law. So again, back to the Christ Central gift day. I've got to be honest. I didn't give cheerfully, I've got to be honest. Ben texted me with the numbers. I thought, all right, yeah, we forgot to put our IOU in. Suppose we better give something, you know, get it over $2,000. I'm thinking, well, yeah, how much should I give? You know, probably be good if we got over $2,000, wouldn't it? And we can't give, you know. And it was given kind of, oh, go on then. It wasn't worship, it wasn't a worshipful offering to the Christ Central thing, and I felt convicted. When Tom came in and said, I want to give a fiver. He gets £5 a week allowance and he runs in, I want to give a fiver. He wants to give a week's wage and he's doing it joyfully. Our son, my naughty son, discipled me that day. You know, but look at Tom, he gets £5 a week and he wants to give a week's worth of money into the offering. There's you. Oh, how much should I give? Oh, I know Ben's going to see it. One is a bit cheap. Oh, it's gonna have to be more than one. Oh. No, it's just really just kind of. It was just grudgingly given, you know. And I don't want to be like that. I'm not like that, you know. I'm not like that. I don't want to be like that. You know. And I remember me and Nicola first started giving to God. It was tough. It wasn't a joyful offering. It was anxiety. I was anxious. Can we afford to be without a tenth of our income? Flipping heck, bro. It was anxious. I was full of anxiety about it. But the question is, if we're giving and it's not joyful and therefore it's not worship, should we just stop giving? That's something to explore, actually. Oh, interesting. Now, the key to it is to get God to change your heart, isn't it? It's not to stop giving, it's to get God in there and kind of change your heart. I'll tell you who you find the less cheerful givers. The least cheerful givers in any church, anywhere, rotas. Oh, when the rota comes out, oh, what's it like? Oh, another rota. I think Ed groans, Ned does the rotas. Oh, I'm on everything. Oh, poor old Yaz, she doesn't even get a day off. Do you realise Yaz is on everything every week for the next, you know, oh, the rotas. I think people would rather, if we could do like a rota Corban, the Jews had this idea of Corban. And what they would say is, the Bible says honour your mother and father. But what the Jews could do is they could say, well, actually, mum and dad are a bit of a burden getting old and senile. I want to bung them in a home, really. I don't, there's a pain. So what they could do this thing called Corban. And what they could say is, any help you would have got off me is a gift to God. It's Corban. It's going to God. That's how they get around it. So you could sack your parents off and just give. That financial support and help could go to God. And I think if we introduced rota Corban, where you could increase your tithe by 1% or 2% and be free of ever doing a rota, I know, I would do it. You would do it as well. You would, wouldn't you? Everyone would do it. PA run, imagine no PA run. Extra 1%. It's really funny because Terry Virgo did the rounds about 10 years ago and he came to Salford Junior and he was talking about dead works. You see, we should have. Sometimes we do things. We're currently doing things in a certain way because we've always done things that way. We just kind of get. And the heart of it was, we just sometimes get caught up in the motion of doing stuff and serving, but our hearts really aren't in it. And if your heart's not in it, it's not worshipful to God. Then it's a dead work, and you shouldn't do it. And you could just see all the church leaders at the back of the thing thinking, no. Anyway, that the week after Terry Virgo came. One of the guys who was leading our reading team quit. He said, yep, dead work, quit. And I phoned away Nolan and said, get me off this worship, get me off this PA run, he's killing me car. It's a dead work and my heart's not in it. And that I don't think that's what Terry wanted. I think Terry wanted us to change our hearts, didn't he? Just say, God, you know, it's a dead work. You know, Eden team leader, or another Eden team leader, you know, one of the Eden team members leaves, buys a sports car and just sacks everything off and Damien falls, everyone just sacks everything off because Terry's been and said, if your heart's not in it, it's a dead work, you shouldn't be like that. Well, actually, the idea is not to sack things off, but to have this Macedonian spirit. It says the Macedonians pleaded for the privilege of giving to God and supporting the big picture. I just think that's absolutely fantastic. And I think we've got that here. We've got that here. We've got people like that here. We want to encourage that. So, The second point I want to take from the Macedonians is this. It's not about where your money's going. When you give financially, or I've said money, but it can be anything really, your time, your friendship, your house, you know, whatever. When we give, it's not about where your money's going to. It's actually about where your heart's going to. And I think for me, this is one of the keys to understanding the Macedonians. It says in 2 Corinthians 8 verse 5, they did not do as we expected. I don't know what he expected. I don't know if he expected people like me. Oh, go on then. Paul's here, big wig apostolic guy. I'll have to give him 200 quid, you know what? I don't know what they were expecting, but he says they didn't do as we expected. They gave themselves first to the Lord. They gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. So the Macedonians, God had the heart. The church in Macedonia, they gave themselves first to God. They gave their hearts to God. They went away, they worshipped, they prayed. And then they came back with a number and an offering that absolutely blew Paul's mind. And, you know, it was beyond what he thought they could do. And that's the kind of... The thing was with the Macedonians, they loved God first. They absolutely loved God first. Now, one of the most misquoted scriptures in the world is this. Money is the root of all evil. I've been listening to a lot of Ed Sheeran recently in the car. And one of the lines in his songs, he says, money is the root of all evil and fame is hell. And you get this picture of this guy that he's made it. He's got all his money, but he's not happy. All his fame has actually brought him misery. He actually feels like he's living in hell. But he's actually misquoted the scripture, hasn't he? Money is not the root of all evil. Love of money is the root of all evil, isn't it? It's the love of money. And the thing about the Macedonians is they loved God first. Now, God doesn't, you know, God wants us. Money in itself is not evil. It's just a means of exchange. We all need money, you know. Church needs money, you know. We don't get this venue for free. That tea and the coffee at the back doesn't grow up trees, does it? All the bushes. It was funny in my head. But we need money, don't we? It's just the way the world works, doesn't it? You know, God wants us to be wise stewards with our money. He wants us to make sound investments. He taught in parables about making sound investments and things like that. You know, the Bible says that where our treasure is, there our heart is also. And I just think it'd be really sad if we love anything else more than God, really. But when you look at when Jesus was anointed at Bethany, this sinful woman came with an alabaster jar full of oil, and she broke it and she completely anointed with him. And he's saying it's worth about a year's wages. I don't know what the average salary is, 20-odd K or something like that. It was worth a heck of a lot of money. And the disciples are going mad. Dude, what a waste of money. We could have sold that and gave the money to the poor. Jesus says, no, man. She's done a beautiful thing. You know, she's done a beautiful thing. The poor you will always have with you, yeah? But I'm about to go. And it seemed like this incident, if you read it, this incident was a catalyst for Judas. It says, when Judas saw this stupid waste of money, this sinful woman pouring perfume on Jesus, it was a catalyst. When Judas seen that, he says he went away. And it was like Judas, all he could see was money. He'd spent all this time with the Saviour, the Messiah, the Son of God, the guy who walked on water and raised the dead. He'd done amazing things. But Judas was just so money motivated that he couldn't see that Jesus was the Lord, the Messiah. And this was actually a beautiful act ahead of his death and burial. And it became the catalyst. And we don't want to miss what God's doing, do we? We don't want to miss the kingdom, do we? And one of the things that we need to realise as well is that when we're giving to God as an offering of our time, of our money, of our energy or whatever, that we're not just showing earthly kindness. So Nicola's dad is absolutely fantastic at showing earthly kindness. And you feel loved and that by him. But when we're giving to God, we're actually sowing something that's going to have an eternal consequence. We're sowing into something that's eternal. We're sowing into the kingdom. We're sowing into progressing the kingdom and stuff like that. So what I want to land it with, the third point is that it's all about grace. It's a measure of grace. It's not a measure of how much money we've got or how much money we give. It's a measure of grace. So Paul starts off, this scripture, this little snippet starts and ends with grace. It says, "And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches." He wants them to know about the grace God has given them. He doesn't want to start talking about, I want to tell you what, I want to tell you how much money they've got, I want to tell you how great they are. I want to tell you about the grace God has given the Macedonian church. And then he finishes it up by saying, "Just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in love, in earnestness, and in love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving." It's all about grace. What the Macedonian church has mastered here is grace-filled giving. That kind of grace-filled giving that is an offering to God. Their grace-filled giving is worship to God. And Paul's using them as an example to the Corinthians. The Corinthians aren't doing much that wrong. Paul says that the Corinthians excel in everything. Paul says, you excel in everything. Faith, speech, knowledge, love for the apostles. See to that you also excel in this grace of giving. So however we're giving, whether it's our time in serving or giving our finances, it's got to be grace filled. We can give our 10% out of duty, a direct debit that just goes out, we cringe and we can do our bit on the rota, you know. But if it's grace filled, then it's worship. And if we're worshipping God in that way, then we'll draw people to us. And people see people saved. If it's not grace filled, it's a bit of an effort, a bit of a tough slog, I'm on PA run again this week. It's a poor advert for being a Christian, isn't it? It's just a, if it, you know, oh yeah, oh, it's just a poor advert for being a Christian. So I think that it's personally a really exciting time to be part of Christ Church Blackpool. I think we've grown quickly. We've grown so fast. Rob was telling me on the weekend, you've grown so fast. You've started a public meeting so quickly. It's absolutely amazing. And he's proud of us. But there's a cost, isn't there? There's a cost. It's kind of tough now, isn't it? Because some of us have been here a long time now, haven't we? And it's tough. There is a cost. But I just want to encourage you all that let's kind of try and dig into that Macedonian spirit. Go away this week, just look at that passage and try and get that Macedonian spirit inside us that says it is a pure joy. It's a pure joy. But you know, for me, I find it a pure joy to hang out with some of you guys and build community with some of you guys. I'm sacrificing evenings with my wife and kids to build community with you guys, and it's a pure joy. And I want us to carry on like that. I want everything we do to be a joy. I don't want us to resent putting on orange t-shirts. I want us to buzz off it because we're growing and God's doing amazing things in us, isn't he, and through us. So I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to pray. Is that okay? I've gone over on there. Are we okay? Spot on. Okay. Yeah, Father God, I just want to thank you, Father God, for what you have done in Blackpool already through Christ Church Blackpool. I want to thank you for these servant-hearted people in front of me, God, that have pushed and ploughed and sowed and prayed, God. And I thank you, God, that you've encouraged us so much by answering our prayers, God, and growing us and bringing new people to us, God. I thank you that you're growing us all spiritually, Lord God. It's fantastic to see people growing in you, God, and stepping out as we're physically growing, God. It's great to see people spiritually growing, Lord God. And Father God, I pray you would make us like the Macedonian church, Lord God, with a heart that just urges and pleads to give, a heart that sees the bigger picture, a heart that wants to support apostolic mission, God, throughout the region. God, I just thank you so much, Jesus, and I pray, God, just strengthen us again, Father God, where some of us are feeling tired, we've been here long, God, just keep us strong in you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information, downloads and podcasts, please visit ccblackpool.co.uk.